Let's pray right now and ask God just to bless this word. Father, we stand here in your presence and we give you thanks for all the multitude of blessings that you have poured out in our lives. And Lord, we don't serve you because of the blessings. We serve you because of who you are. You are the King. You are our Savior. You are the Messiah. You are the first and the last. You are Redeemer. You are Shepherd. And Father, we come now and we ask that you would anoint our shepherd here, our local shepherd, Pastor John, as he brings forth your word. Anoint the words that you have spoken to his heart. May him bring forth the conviction and the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit. Father, prepare our hearts to receive him and to act upon him. We ask in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you remember back a few weeks ago, we were talking about God's powerful word. And one of the scriptures that we looked at was a quote from Jesus himself telling us about the importance of having a strong foundation in our lives, and so that we'll be able to withstand the storms of life, all the problems and all the things that come at us, and not only stand but be successful. We looked at Matthew 7:24 and 25. Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Jesus said, if we listen to his word, if we take that word and if we put it into practice, we can be like that wise man. And then we will stand firm and we will be strong against whatever comes against us. Why? Because God's word is powerful. This word is more than a book. It's more than letters written on a piece of paper. It's unlike anything else in all creation. In fact, one of the unique ways that God describes his word is found in Ephesians 6:17, where it is called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And now I know a lot of guys here, they like to, and sometimes even the women too, they like to go out and go hunting. And sometimes they just like to go out shooting their guns, whether it's in the woods or at a shooting range or wherever it might be. And I think sometimes the bigger the gun, the better, right? I know some of the guys, I saw a video just the other day. This guy had a warehouse, actually he had a warehouse tied to a one of those storage unit places with about 20 bays. And it was all open and all together, and everything was filled with all of his guns. And he had howitzers in there. He had bombs that were this big. He had everything. He has the largest private collection in the United States. And he was really, really proud of it, walking around showing everybody about all his big guns and his uniforms and everything he had about all the different wars. But let me tell you, there is no more powerful weapon in the entire world than the sword of the Spirit. What it is, this word, it is the word of God backed up and activated by the Holy Spirit. That's what this sword is. This sword is a powerful weapon. More powerful than anything else that is out there because it is backed up by God himself. This is the same powerful word that not only created the world, but according to Hebrews 1:3, is sustaining and holding all things together. The whole world, the whole universe. That's how strong this world is, or this weapon is. And God is telling us that this weapon, his word, the sword of the Spirit, is available for every single one of us, every believer. And this weapon, according to God Himself, right in His Word, is necessary. It's absolutely essential for every believer if we want to be able to withstand those pressures, those storms of life, and also the very real struggle that every Christian will face, whether we want to or not. Ephesians 6:12 describes the struggle that I'm talking about. It says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is no way we are going to fight against the spiritual forces of evil with guns or knives or bullets or even tanks or bombs. They will have no effect upon it. A spiritual enemy must be fought with spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We're not talking about some street fight here. We're not talking about something that we can see in the physical realm. We're talking here, the way it says, we demolish arguments, pretensions, things that set itself up against the knowledge of God, taking thoughts captive. What it's explaining is that this battle that we're fighting, it could be in a somewhat dealing with certain situations and actual dealing with physically with sometimes with people who are being used by the devil. But in reality, most of the time, the battle, the war is going on right up here in our mind. This is where the arguments and the pretensions and the knowledge takes place and the thoughts. That's where all those things are happening. And what happens is that these spiritual forces set up these lies and these deceptions and these schemes that play out against us, and we get hit up here. We get hit up here. Remember, Satan himself, according to 2 Corinthians 11:14, can masquerade as an angel of light. He comes to rob, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy, he steals, he implants thoughts, he implants temptations, he puts those things in our mind, and oftentimes people don't even recognize that it's him. We think it's ourselves. That's why we beat ourselves up when we have this awful thought that comes into our mind. And it wasn't even your thought. It was a thought that belonged to the devil. And he stuck it in your mind, and you think, oh my God, what kind of a person am I that I would think this thing? Even when I'm in church, even when I'm with my wife, when I'm with my husband, even when I'm at work, even when I'm reading the Bible, how can these thoughts come in my mind? Because that's when the devil tries to get you. Those are his lies. Those are his deceptions. Those are the schemes that he's working against you. So God wants us to be fully aware, and not only of our enemies in the spiritual realm, but also what he has provided for us to fight with. A weapon that has divine power, it says. A weapon that stands out and is light years ahead of anything else, above anything else that we could ever, you know, use. Anything else that could ever be used in this spiritual battle that we're engaged in. And we're in the battle whether we want to be or not. A lot of people say, I don't even want to get into that stuff. Well, I'm sorry. They're into you. They're into you. So we have to fight. But God says, don't worry, I've got something for you that can you can fight with and that you can be victorious with. So that weapon is exactly what we've been talking about, what I mentioned, the sword of the Spirit, God's Word. Now, back in the days when Jesus walked on the face of this earth, the Roman army was the envy of the world. They were the superpower of the world at that time. Far and away, they were the superpower. And they were a strong, mighty, powerful army that moved along and just conquered everything in its path. And every soldier in that army carried a sword. It would be hard to imagine a soldier going into battle without a weapon. And it should be just as hard for us to imagine any Christian standing against an enemy that God has pointed out without a weapon, without the very weapon that God Himself has given us. Why would we want to go into a battle? Why would we want to leave ourselves open and not have a weapon when we know, when we've been warned that there's our enemy, the devil, is out there prowling about like a lion, seeking whom he can devour, that he's got schemes and plots against us, that he's out there to rob and kill and destroy, that he's a liar and a thief, that he masquerades as an angel of light. He's coming at us from every different direction. Should that bring fear into our hearts? Absolutely not. We don't need to be afraid of him. We just need to have our weapon ready. So why do we call it the sword of the Spirit? Well, it was the Holy Spirit who caused this word to be written. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture originated in God. That's why it's a divine weapon. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God, or they wrote from God, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the Word of God. He's the one who put those words into their mind so that they could use their hand and they could write down those words. There was one entity, one person, the Holy Spirit, behind all these different people from Moses on up to Revelation, John, you know, and Paul and everybody else in between, that guided all these different writers so that this book is in complete harmony, complete and total unity, and is a powerful, powerful word and a weapon that God Himself calls the sword of the Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit who reveals this truth now to us. John 16:13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. God's Word is truth. This is what Jesus said this. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings it to our remembrance. We're talking about why it's called the sword, the word, the sword of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who brings it to our remembrance when we need it. We study the Word, we read the Word, and then the Holy Spirit says, uh-oh, here comes something. I'm going to bring the Word back to their mind so they can deal with this issue. John 14:26. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus speaking again, will teach you all the things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Remind you of my words. Another thing the Holy Spirit does is He empowers us to speak and use the Word of God boldly. In Acts chapter 4, after Peter and John had been arrested, if you remember the story, They had been arrested for speaking in the name of Jesus out in the courtyards there, and the Sanhedrin had him arrested. And when they were released from jail, they were ordered not to speak in Jesus' name. Man, it's still going on today. You can't pray in Jesus' name. You can't say Jesus' name. You can't have the Word of God. You can't have the Ten Commandments out in front of this building. You can't have a cross in this place. All across the country, there are people who are scared to death of the power of God, the power of the name of Jesus. So there are people out there who are trying to remove it all the time. All the time. So Peter and John, they return to their people, to the rest of the disciples, and they prayed to God for boldness because they weren't going to give in to these bullies. There's an example for us. And in Acts 4:31, after they had prayed, it says, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. See, the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God is leading us and He leads us into that truth, and then He reminds us of that truth, and then He empowers us to speak the Word of God boldly, with confidence, with authority, with strength. Remember when they said, these are ordinary men. How did they learn to speak like this? Remember when Jesus was 12 years old in the temple? Where did He get such wisdom? How can He speak like this? And now it's, where do those people from Downriver Christian Community Church, how do they know how to speak like this? If we speak. Once again, it was the Holy Spirit who helped them to speak the Word of God. The Holy Spirit causes the Word to be powerful inside of us, effective. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:4, my message and my preaching we're not with wise and persuasive words. See, we think we have to be so wise. We think we have to know it all before we go out there. Well, you know, man, I'm not really ready. I don't know what to say to them. I haven't studied. I didn't memorize that enough scriptures. Oh man, I don't know if I can tell them about salvation. I don't know if I can share the good news with them, or, you know, point out to them this truth or that truth. Well, Paul says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit, because it's the Spirit who empowers it. We hold it in our hearts, really, not in our hand. It could be in our hand if we're holding a Bible. And it's the Holy Spirit who holds the sword, like, and causes it to do its work. So when we take up the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is right there with us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's working through us. He's doing it in word and deed to help us defeat the enemy. To help us defeat the enemy's schemes. To help us defeat those arguments and those pretensions. To help us take those thoughts captive. That's what the Word of God does. We can't separate the Word of God from the Holy Spirit. We don't want to, because then it wouldn't be the sword of the Spirit. So what is the nature of this sword? How do we use it? Well, we know that it can be used defensively, and Jesus proved how effectively it can be used. You remember in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, it tells us that Jesus used that sword 3 different times in the desert. When he was, after he had been fasting for 40 days, if you remember the story, the devil came to him. Told him to turn the rocks into bread. Told him to jump off the cliff and the angels would rescue him. Told him to bow down to him. And he would give them all the kingdoms of the world. But remember, each time the devil spoke to Jesus, each time he tried to trap him, trick him, deceive him, with God's word. He did it with God's word. Didn't God say? So the devil's smart. He's very smart. So he even used God's word, but to the devil, those words were only words. You see, in the devil's mouth, they didn't have the power that they do in our mouth. Because the devil wasn't operating in the Holy Spirit. The devil knows the Bible better than we do. I guarantee you, he knows the Bible better than any one of us. He knows every single word in that Bible. But they haven't brought him to salvation, right? Because to him, they're just words. He memorized it just like we could memorize our multiplication tables. 9, 18, 27, 36, 45. You know, go right on down the line. Remember that back in school? The fives and tens were easy, remember? All the other ones were hard. Well, the devil's remembered all that. But there's no power behind it. So we have to be careful. Just because something comes at us, it doesn't mean that it's God. Like these things that are trying to bring us down, these different arguments that we hear out in the world, people are always trying to use the Word of God to justify their actions. They try to use God's Word to justify a social gospel. Socialism, communism, Marxism. They constantly bring God's Word in to use it. Even though Jesus was weak in body, he was still strong in spirit. That's why those words didn't affect him. Remember what it tells you in Zechariah 4:6? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. We're not strong because of our own power. It's not our might that will defeat the enemy. It's not our might that will rescue others. It's not our power that will allow us to step into a situation and bring light and truth. No, it's the power of the Word. As we are led by the Holy Spirit, it becomes the sword of the Spirit. In our weakness is His strength. Each time Jesus stopped the devil, He stopped him dead in his tracks by quoting the Word of God. But when Jesus quoted it, it had authority because it was backed up by the Holy Spirit. So the devil finally gave up and left him alone. And it says that he waited for a more opportune time. And I was reading that and I was wondering, do you think he's still waiting for that opportune time? It'll never come. It'll never come, not for Jesus. So now he comes after us. He comes to find that opportune time in our life, and he tries to trick us, trap us, deceive us, rob from us, kill us, destroy us. But you know what? If we are ready to use, ready to be led by the Spirit and use that word, he won't find that opportune time with us either. So we know the sword is effective for defense, but it really shines on the offense. Imagine a soldier that never attacked. That wouldn't be a very effective soldier. A soldier that never attacks his enemy but only defends will sooner or later be beaten back. He'll be trapped. He'll be destroyed. A person, a people, or a team that only defend and never go on the offense will almost always be defeated. God doesn't want us to hide in a corner. He doesn't want us to, try to play it safe all the time. He wants us to advance His kingdom. Matthew 11:12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men will lay hold of it. So if we're going to advance the kingdom forcefully, that means we have to go on the offense. So the sword now has to become an offensive weapon. Can you imagine a football team or a hockey team or baseball or basketball that had no offense, only defense? How could they ever win? Because they would never score any points. Without an offense, they would never score any points. And so God wants us to score points. He wants us to go on the offense in the Spirit. Another aspect of the sword is that it is indestructible. Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. 1 Peter 1:25, the word of the Lord stands forever. God's church is indestructible too. We are indestructible as a church because we are God's building project. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So God's church is indestructible. It doesn't mean no church will ever fail. Some churches do fail. But the church of God, will not fail, because if the Word of God is in that church, and the Holy Spirit is in that church, there will be power in that church. The word, or the sword, is unified. It is solid. Like I said, even though the Bible was written, even though this Word of God was written by, in over a period of thousands of years, and by many, many, many different people, it still fits perfectly together. It has a unified theme. It has a unified purpose. God's love for mankind is expressed through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in this Word, all throughout the Word, it's all about that love, about a Savior, and about our redemption, our salvation, forgiveness of sins. That's the message of the Bible. That's the good news. And all throughout the Word, it's in there. Whether Old Testament or New Testament, it's in there. So God's Word backs itself up over and over. This Word backs up that Word. And that's how we're supposed to be as a body. Even though we are many parts, just like the Bible has many parts, we are one. We are different, yet we are one. There is one body, one Spirit, one Word. So God wants us to be walking in unity in His Word, backing one another up, supporting one another. Another aspect of this sword is that it is powerful. Now, we spoke at length a month ago or so. I spoke about how the Word of God is powerful. So I'm not going to get into all the aspects of the power, but I will just say this, that God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence by the power of His Word. And now, Hebrews 1:3 tells us that God is sustaining all things by the power of His Word. So, here we have the beginning and we have the end. For all eternity, the Alpha and the Omega, everything is held together by the Word of God. That's power. That is power. And then we look at the millions of hearts, the millions of lives, the billions of lives over you know, the existence of the earth that have been touched, that have been changed by the power of God. People have sacrificed their lives because of this book, because of this Word, because of this truth. And here we have it, right here. We have it in our homes. We have it in our hand. We have it in our backpack. We have it in our car. We have it in our church. We have it up in the cabinets upstairs. The Word of God. The very thing that people have been willing to die for. Another aspect of this absolutely amazing Word, this most powerful weapon, the sword of the Spirit, is that according to Hebrews 4:12, it says that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. What other book, what other word, what sword could do anything like that? Nothing can. Nothing ever could. I don't care if it's a laser beam that the modern laser surgery, you know, they can do little stuff on your eye. They can do stuff in the womb in a baby. They can go into your heart now and do laser surgery. They can do all these things, but that's nothing compared to the Word of God. This Word is something that can dig down into the deepest recesses of our heart, of our mind, of our soul, and do surgery there. It can do it at a microscopic level. It can do it in any way, shape, or form that we allow it to. Showing us what's good and at the same time showing us what's not so good inside of us. Showing us what needs to change, what needs to stop, showing us what needs to be amplified, what needs to be encouraged, what needs to be built up, what needs to be shared or given away. This Word will speak life to us. This book truly does reveal, this Word does reveal the secrets of life because it was written by the author of life. What could be more powerful? What could be more beneficial? What could be more wonderful? What could be more, you know, all-encompassing than the Word of God? Psalm 12:6 says, "The Word of the Lord is flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined seven times." It's not enough to know the Word. We need to recognize that God's Word is life to us. We can't just know it. Like I said, the devil knows the Word. But we have to take it in. It has to become life to us. It has to become our sustenance. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." God wants us to live by this Word because it is so powerful. It is so effective. It's an amazing thing. It gives us the truth of life. It gives us a wisdom beyond the ages. It gives us the deepest secrets of God, the things that He wants so desperately to share with us. It shows us how to live. It protects us from the dangers of these demonic, these evil spiritual forces. Next week we'll come back and we'll see some of the many ways this Word can be used effectively in our life to help us walk in a victorious way and to help us walk in an abundant, powerful, effective way to walk in the life that God, our Creator, has designed for us. He wants us to be blessed in so many ways. He wants this Word to be beneficial to us in ways that are beyond our comprehension. So we'll be back next week. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for this Word that You've given us. Lord, I know as people, Lord, as individuals, we know that Your Word is wonderful. We know that it's precious, Lord, but I know that we've only scraped the surface of this Word. Lord, that there's so much more there for us. So, Lord, I pray that You would open up Your Word to us. That You would reveal Yourself to us through this Word. That You would show us the power that is available to us in this Word. That You would reveal the life-giving nature of this Word. that this word would help us live a life of abundance, a life of victory, a life of blessing, not only for ourselves, but that we, through this word, could be even a blessing to others. Lord, help us to understand the powerful, effective word that you have given us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
At the mention of the name, King of Majesty.